The following is an unrehearsed interview with Ruth Murley, who is the bookmobile librarian for Cumberland County. The tape is being made for the Kentucky Oral History Commission and the Department for Libraries and Archives as part of the project Bookmobiles and Historical Perspective. The interview is conducted by Gene Wiggins at Cumberland County Public Library in Burkesville, Kentucky, on October 30th, 1985. Ruth, it's good to meet you here early in the morning, and it's a special pleasure to talk to a bookmobile librarian who holds a very distinctive spot in Kentucky bookmobiles. You celebrated your 25th anniversary on the bookmobile in September. That's a wonderful record. Tell me how you first became interested in libraries and bookmobiles.
Our family has been readers. My husband likes to read. I like to read. The children, I have five children, and they like to read. And the bookmobile used to come to our house. And Jewel Thomas, when she went to Wolf County, I guess, she asked me if I'd be interested in driving the bookmobile. And I thought I'd try it maybe just a few years. And here I am, 25 years, still going strong. Maybe not as strong as I once did, but still going. And I enjoy it very much. I love to read, I love books, and I love people. And
those are absolute essentials for a bookmobile librarian, aren't they?
I made the remark the other day, when I quit, if somebody drives a bookmobile off, I'll sit and cry, I know. I think you have to love people. I think you have to like your job. I think you have to feel a dedication to a job, to do a good job. And I have met people that I would have never known had I not worked. I work with people about all backgrounds, educated, the uneducated, some financially well off, and some getting by. And I feel like these people I've worked with are my family. When they're sick, I try to find out about them. Bookmobile work is not all books. I think people used to think all you did was check out a book. But you're a psychiatrist. You're a social worker. You're just whatever you're asked to be. You have to be a good listener, and you have to be able to keep your mouth shut. You can't go from one house to the other and tell them what they told you at the house before you got there, because they may say, well, those people back there are terrible. And if they do, I say, well, they've always been good to me. And I'll go down to the next house, and they may say, oh, those people up there are terrible. But you don't tell one family what the other has said. All in all, I have good days and bad days. Some look more real, but it's like everything else. But most of the time, I really enjoy my work. And I wouldn't take anything for the experiences I've had the last 25 years with people, because we've had good times and bad times.
Even though you grew up in Cumberland County, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And knew these people in the county, you've seen it from a different point of view, right?
Yes.
As you travel and meet your book patrons?
Yes, I've lived in Cumberland County all my life, but I didn't start working. I stayed home 17 years and raised my children until they got ready to go to school, and then I wouldn't have worked at anything else because I was home when they left, and I was home when they got home. And I wasn't out in the county too much until I started working. And it has taken me a long time to build up people's confidence. A lot of people are skeptical of new people coming around. When I first started working, people kind of look at you out the corner of the eye, and you have to prove yourself to people.
How did you go about doing that?
Well, going looking at their chickens if they wanted me to, going looking at their fattening hogs if they wanted me to, looking at their gardens, looking at their quilts.
I understand you even helped harvest the garden.
Yes, ma'am. One day, this lady that was in a wheelchair, the fellow she had rented her land to had sowed some turnips for her, and I was there, and she said, "I have such a nice turnip greens, but I can't get out." And I had the little girl with me that was going to be my substitute. I asked her if she'd ever picked turnip greens, and she said no. And I said, "Well, I'm going to teach you how today." So we went out and picked her some turnip greens and brought them back into her. And I said, "Well, I may get fired, but it was for a good cause." I've had a lot of people to tell me. I went to a home one day, and this lady's two children were at home. And I said, "Why are they home?" And she said, "They don't have any shoes to wear to school." And I said, "Well, what are their sizes?" And she told me. And I came back to town. I hid down the social worker from school. I knew they had a fund. And I told her these kids couldn't go to school, and they needed shoes. And they also needed underclothes. She gave me the size. And they got shoes and got back in school. A lady rode to town with me one day. She had 12 children. She was telling me that her children didn't have coats to wear. And I got to town. I went in the superintendent's office, and the social worker wasn't there. I went on to Marybone School, and I walked in, and he walked in right behind me. And I told him, I said, "I want to see you." And I told him, I said, "That these children." He said, "Well, they don't come to school." I said, "They can't come. They don't have any coats." And I went back up to see about them. They had 12 new coats. And I just ran the social worker till they got where they crossed the street almost when they seen me coming, because I was trying to help somebody.
You find that those people in turn wanted to come onto the bookmobile then and check out books and read materials more?
Well, this lady that rode to town with me, she had never, her family had never used the bookmobile. And then they moved away not too long after that. But this other family, well, they love me dearly. I'll go to see this lady, and she is such an humble lady. She'll always say, "Miss Ruth, I got to kiss you."
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been for the underdog. Because when I grew up, we had the necessities. But my father was a farmer, and there's something about seeing children without clothes. I always had plenty of clothes and plenty to eat, but there's something about children not having shoes and not having clothes that gets very close to me. I think the children can't help it.
Right. But in addition to being that unpaid social worker, which you turn out to be, do you find that encourages a good attitude toward bookmobiles and libraries?
Yes. I have found out that loneliness is everybody is lonely. Everybody wants somebody to listen to them. And I do a lot of listening. And I have people to tell me things that I wouldn't tell anybody. And they'll ask me my opinion, and most of the time I'll say, "Honey, I just don't know what to tell you," because I'm afraid I'll tell them the wrong thing. I think if you show an interest in people, And even though you may not even be listening to them, because part of the time you have to turn things off, you just cannot. I go home some days depressed because I've heard so much, and you know, everybody is hurting in some direction. Everybody has a problem, and they tell you, and you, I have to look them in the eye, even though my mind may be some other place. And I am interested, but you can't, you know, you just can't let things get you down. Because you may go on to the next house, and they'll tell you something that maybe is worse than what you've just heard. And a lot of people are lonely. A lot of people, I've always said when I quit work, I wish I could just go around and visit the lonely people I know. Everybody says I should run for public office. Since everybody knows me, I said, well, I probably wouldn't win.
you might. You've done your campaigning already. What changes do you notice in the public you serve now and when you first began 25 years ago?
Well, I serve more older people. A lot of the younger people are working anymore. And a lot of the younger people will call me and leave their books at the door or set them in the between the screen and tell me what they'd like to, for me to leave them. Other than that, our roads are a lot better than they were when I went down this hill one time. It was just up and down. I had my little boy with me. He was 5 years old. And he ran back and stuck his head in the closet and said, Mama, tell me when you get to the bottom. And other than just being older people, there's one thing about driving bookmobile. You may lose a reader today, but you'll probably pick up maybe two that week. And it's about ways to step out.
Tell me about the roads you travel in Cumberland County and the geographical area you cover.
Well, most roads are blacktopped. But I go, there's three or four places that I did get out and open a gate and they put up a cattle crossing. And then there's another place I go, I cross three creeks. There's electric fence across the road. And sometimes they meet me down and have the electric fence down. And if they don't, I stop and get out and take the fence down and go through, put the fence back up, and it's come back down. I stop and take the fence down, go through, and put the fence back up. Had a little girl with me one time, the first time I went to this place where we had to open the gate, and she was a summer worker. And she got out and she said, I don't know if I know how to open a gate enough. And I said, well, it doesn't take a smart person to open a gate. She got out and she yelled back, how do you open it? I told her how, because I've been used to opening gates. And she got back on the bookmobile and said, well, you said it didn't take a smart person to open a gate. But some places are narrow roads. I go to a place now, this old lady, I go down a road. It's about 2 miles off the road, and the road is so narrow and so crooked that if I get down there before the mail comes, she says, you sit right here till the mail comes, because he flies and he'll run over you. And I always try, if I get there before he does, to wait till he runs and then I come out, because if I met him, there's no way we could pass. She's a sweet old lady. She's always won't know if I have lima beans or do I have tomatoes, but I can almost not raise a garden.
I bet.
And
how large an area is Cumberland County? Do you know, how many miles do you travel in a month?
I travel between 300 and 400 a month.
And you go out 4 days a week,
4 days,
right?
A week. I work 24 hours a week. Work 6 hours a day. If our population reaches 10,000, I'll be working 5 days a week.
Describe the places where you stop.
Well, I have deposit stations at houses and stores. I have a lot of home stops. And I have I service a school. We have three elementary school, one church school that I service. I guess I have more home stops than anything else.
Do you go into the schools or do they come to the bookmobile?
I go into the schools and the teacher chooses 8 children and they go out and choose the books and take them in. And then we rotate every month. And I enjoy kids. I had some kids to ask me, it was in the 3rd grade, not long ago, if I had any heart and romance. I see children's reading changing a lot. I see, I think they're seeing too much television, really. They want something gory, bloody. Children used to read little light romance instead of 8th grade did, but anymore, you just can't hardly give them a romance. They want something that's, they'll say, well, give me something bloody. I'll say, well, children, will you take a little mystery or something? Their reading has changed a lot, I think. And then back to my stops. I have a deposit station in stores. This one fellow that runs a store, his wife tells me that he'll be late for supper at night and she'll come to see about him and he's a reading. She said he was standing with 20 people coming in to be waiting on. He was standing with a book in his hand. She said she'd go up there and be standing. He said, just like a little more. I'll be past. Then I have at my deposit stations in the store, I do the choosing of the books and I take them in. And the home stops have deposit stations. The lady comes out, but she'll say, well, you help me because you know more about the books than I do. I have several shut-ins that I carry their books into them. I choose their books and carry them into them. In the home stops where I have a deposit station, people come to the home and get books. This lady, she has a bookshelf. We carry them in, put them on a bookshelf, and people in the community come in and get books.
That shows an excellent community spirit and involvement, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. It sure does. All in all, I think that most people like me.
I believe so.
I think they do. I don't think that, I have this substitute, and I don't know what happened. I guess I took off one day, and she went to this. I was on the jury. And she went to this girl's house, and when I went back up there, the substitute went, and also the lady that works in the library part-time. I went back up there, and I got ready to leave. This little girl said, I'd like to tell you something. I said, okay. She said, when they were up here the other day, they didn't help me choose any books. They both, one sat and read in the front, one sat and read in the back. So they didn't help me at all. And I said, let me tell you something. When I quit, that's what you're going to get. So without letting the little girl know, I told her when she went back, I said, now you're going to have to help these people. And I tried to show her. I said, they read this, and they read that, and of course she hasn't been working long. She doesn't know, but the little girl went back again to the same place, and the next time I went back, I said, how'd she do? She said, oh, she did great this time. I said, she helped, with the books and everything. But you have to, there's lots of places that I choose their books. That's who you do better than I do, So,
you have to know your books and your people.
Yes.
And be able to put the right two together.
That's right. It won't do to give the wrong people the wrong book. You have to watch, too, a lot. Some people will say, well, give me something with a little spice in it. And maybe the next one will say, I want a good, clean book. I had this fellow one time that came on the bookmobile, and he was a... we call them hippies, I guess. He had this clap down his back, and his part Indian, and he told me that he didn't care what he got off the government, that the government owed it to the Indians. And he said, I looked a little girl with me, and I kind of winked there, and I said, you know what I think the government ought to do? I think they ought to give everybody a job. Everybody ought to have a job. He didn't like that, but he kept saying, well, he was on the impression I had to wait for them one day to finish breakfast before they come on the bookmobile. I owed them, see. We had taken the land away from Indians. I didn't do it. But anyway, he wanted something inspirational. I hunted. Everything I gave him, he wasn't pleased with. And I said, well, here's the Bible. How about it? He didn't want the Bible either. He was just, I think he had a chip on his shoulder, you know. And he kept talking. I finally said, I think we need to separate. I think you need to go one way and me the other. But as a usual thing. But he felt like we owed him because he was part Indian. The government had taken away their land. I felt like... I've had a little bit of that with black people at one time. And I told them, I said, I know you've been mistreated, but I didn't do it. Now, one time I was out in the country and came down this hill, and this old man ran out and stopped me and said, matey wants some books. I said, okay. I started to stop, my brakes gave away. I just kept going. I couldn't stop. I had to go out a side road to get stopped. And they had to come get me with the wrecker, and this fella I'd known all my life, he called me Christ Brown from then on. One time, I was over at Maribone School, and I started to come over to the library, and that's when I had the older bookmobile that had the gear shift in the floor. And I reached down to put in low gear, and the gear shift came up in my hand out of the floor. I've had a lot of experiences with little things happening to me on the bookmobile. One day I went on a route, and everything just seemed to go wrong. I come back to the library, and this little boy come in and said, when are you coming to my house? I said, I was at your house last week. Where were you? Somebody else something, but I said, Mabel, I'm going to go home and kick the dog. And I started out, and I got about 5 miles out of town. That bookmobile went up in smoke. My water hose bursted. I called Mabel, and I said, Mabel, I didn't even get home to kick the dog. I had to call the wrecker to come and get me and bring it back to town. And I had this lady one day that her mother-in-law had died, and I asked her who was staying with her father-in-law. I had gone to their house. The mother-in-law was a great reader, but the father-in-law didn't read. And she said, his sister. And I said, well, is she in good health? And she said, well, she's just had cataracts taken off her eyes. And the same lady told me one day, I laughed all the way to the Berksville after I left her house. She said, she was talking about some fella had gotten into it with some young girl. And she said, you know, she's never been right since she had that informed baby. I laughed all the way down. I thought, well, there's nuts and there's nutty nuts. I just had lots of things happen to me, but you just have to grin and bear it.
Well, someday we'll have to do a collection of human interest stories from bookmobile librarians. Your experiences are endless, I'm sure. You mentioned a substitute on the bookmobile. Have you always had a substitute? or help on the bookmobile?
Now, I have had summer workers just work, you know, a little while on the CETA program. Had that for maybe 2 years, but I got a substitute last year, my 24th year. And I really, really kindly makes me feel like, you know, if you have to take off to something and the bookmobile has to sit there, somebody's going to call and ask you where you were. But you can go to their house 3 days a week and them not be home, and they won't call and tell you where they were. I had this lady call me one time and say, "Where have you been?" I said, "I've been wondering, where have you been?" I said, but I really appreciate my substitute, and she's a fine little girl. She's the story area here. She can substitute. I can't miss on Thursday. I can't be sick on Thursday because she has to do story area. But it makes you feel like, you know, there's days you need to take off that you can't take off tomorrow. It's got to be today. And now I feel freer.
Before you had a substitute, if you were ill or couldn't go, what happened?
Bookmobile sat.
Did that happen many days?
Well, no, not many. And when the weather's bad, you don't go out in bookmobiles when the weather's bad. Because I got out one time to school. I went in this school and it was mist and snow just a little bit. I had a 3-room school. And when I came out, there was about a 4-inch snow on the ground. And I tried to get home. And I started up the hill and there was a truck in front of me. And I finally got over the hill, but when I turned off the road to go to the way I live, the bookmobile stalled. It just blocked traffic from Glasgow to Berksville. There I was. And some men came along and helped me get across the road. And I promised the good Lord, if he'd let me get home, I'd stay home. The snow was on the ground. I come into the library and work when I leave the bookmobile at home. One time when it had been real cold, and I started out to work and started the bookmobile, and I had to get out of the driveway. I had to go up the road to turn around to come back down. And when I turned around, I felt something, and I got out, and the front tire had dropped off the bookmobile.
Off?
Off. It had frozen to the ground, I guess. And when I moved it, it broke the seal on the tire. You know, they were tubeless tires. Off.
No. So how did you go about repairing that little incident?
Well, I called the wrecker, and they came. And, you know, it's hard anymore to get somebody to come and get you. I had two flat tires on the same side last year, just at the edge of town. And this girl that is secretary over at school came up behind me. She got out and said, "Miss Ruth, get in, and I'll take you where you need to go." We drove all over town trying to get somebody to fix the flat tires, and I couldn't get anybody. And the fellow that lives over close to us where we do most of our gasoline buying, I called him. He came after me. He pumped one tire up, and he said, "I think you can make it to the station. It's about 3 miles. He said, "I'll follow you in the wrecker." I prayed all the way over there. I said, "Lord, just a little further, just a little further." I finally made it over there. But it's hard to get anybody to fix a flat tire on a bookmobile. We haven't had many problems with the bookmobile we have now. The only complaints I have with it is no air conditioning. It is so hot on there, you wouldn't believe it. Well, there were some days this last summer I didn't work. I put my bookmobile schedule on the paper and put, if the temperature's above 90, the bookmobile will not be on the road. Because when the sun shines on it, it's like being in a tin can.
Right.
It just heats it up. But winter, if the roads are clear, I have a good heater. I haven't had any problems much with this bookmobile we have now, other than air conditioning.
What type bookmobile are you driving now?
I'm driving it's a Chevrolet, it's just a step-up van, and I broke a finger on it. This lady was going to push the door back, and I was going to keep it from hanging, and I got my finger in it and broke it. I never did tell her. I drove off, and my finger had to go have it x-rayed and put in a splint.
How many bookmobiles have you had since you have been
librarian? Three. Now, we won't get a new one for a long time, I'm afraid, the way things are going.
Let's pause for a moment while we turn our tape to the other side.
The first bookmobile I had, it was an 8-cylinder without power steering. And the second one I had didn't have power steering. The second one I had, I was coming down this hill one day and I kept hearing something vibrate and got to looking at the sides of it, and the sides of it had come loose from the body and you could see the ground.
Oh dear.
And I came in and I told Mabel, I said, Mabel, I'm afraid I'm going to run out from under the top. But we have power steering now, and that's the nicest thing that's happened to bookmobiles, is power steering. It took so much out of you to just turn a bookmobile around, and you had to have a lot of space. Joel Thomas and I were out one time on a bookmobile, and we was on this little side road and met this fellow, and he stopped before he got to us and pulled his side mirror in. Afraid we'd take it off. I was telling a girl the other day about when I first started driving bookmobile, this old man over on the Guthrie's Chapel Ridge, I turned his mailbox around so many times he finally put it on just an iron post so it would go around. Every time I went, I turned the man's mailbox around. But bookmobile, I have no complaints there, bookmobile now. I do my own cleaning of it. Take it and leave it to the service station whenever the oil needs changing. We don't have a lot of work done on the bookmobile. We had a leak in the radiator not long ago. But all in all, it hasn't been a very expensive bookmobile like the others were. I guess it'll be a long time before we get a new one. I was talking to Mr. Eleanor the other day, and he said, 88 maybe. And I probably won't be here in 88.
Oh, sure you will.
The librarian and I say we're going to quit together when we quit. She started working. She's been working 21 years. We went to school together. Never thought we'd ever work together.
Well, after talking with her last night, I don't believe she's ready to quit yet. And I don't believe you are either. Were you the first bookmobile librarian in Cumberland County?
No, I think I'm the third. Miss Ruby Lee Bill's bookmobile a while. And then we got a preacher to drive it, and he didn't last long. He kept it parked behind his house. And then Jewel drove it. Jewel drove it and took care of the library, too. We were in the bottom of the courthouse at the time.
That's Jewel Thomas, right?
Uh-huh. When we got our new library, the librarian and I moved this library. We bought a pickup truck, and we had two boys that worked on the city program. We moved this library and set it up ourselves.
Were you a volunteer then, or were
no,
you a part
working,
of the staff?
I was working on bookmobile. But I volunteered a month when I first started driving the bookmobile to learn the rest. I didn't get any money at all.
So you had the bookmobile before you had the library here?
Mm-hmm. Before we had it here where it is now. It was in the courthouse. Of course, we had such a small space. And we moved it. We bought a truck from Tommy Buckhammer and moved. I drove the truck.
Librarians, bookmobile librarians, do have to be physically fit, don't they?
Yes, they do. They have to have, I've always said they had to have a strong back and a weak mind.
Oh, I don't know about that. What is the capacity of your present bookmobile? How many books can it contain?
Well, I would say about 3,000. And I may be far off. I have a, when they made this bookmobile, I believe Mr. Allen told us that the prisoners at LaGrange put the shelves in. And one part of it, the shelves are so shallow that all I can put in is paperback. But I've had some more experiences with hitting a bump in the road and everything falling out of the back end. I was going home one day from work, and a lady had given me a box of apples. That was in the older bookmobile. And as I turned the curve to go my way, the door flew open and my box of apples went out the door. And I stopped and there was somebody come along and helped me pick them up and put them back in the bookmobile. But the doors now don't. We got better doors. Others just swing open.
How do your readers feel about paperbacks?
They like them. Like them.
All ages?
Well, if I think all ages would like them if the print was larger. I have readers that will read anything, and I have readers that are picky. You know, I think a lot of people like paperbacks because they're easy to hold in your hand, and we have a lot of readers that read large print books. We are borrowing now from the State Department. They're loaning us some for 3 months, and then we send them back, and they send us some more because we don't have the money. They take up so much space after everybody's done with them that if you can borrow them and send them back, it's better that way.
Okay. Do you carry non-book material on the bookmobile?
Well, by request is all, because I don't have the space. Records would get so hot on there they'd probably warp. And if somebody calls in, you know, and wants something, I'll take it. I'll call Mabel fix it, and I'll take it. I delivered all the posters back to school this year that we had an oil festival, and they'll bring them, but they won't come and get them, so I take them back as I go to the school to them. But we don't carry anything except by request. And I have a lot of requests that I bring into Mabel, and she fills it, and I take it back the next time I go.
You have access to anything in the library
uh-huh.
collection?
Uh-huh. Anything that can be checked out.
About how many books per month do you circulate from the bookmobile?
Well, between 2,000 and 3,000. Sometimes I might go over that a little bit. And sometimes under. When it's the weather's bad and I don't get out, or my circulation falls, you know. But when I'm working, I circulate up around 3,000 a month.
About what percentage of the overall circulation of the library comes from the bookmobile?
I'd say 50%.
That's great.
Could you comment on staff relationships? I know a bookmobile librarian is out there kind of running a one-person show a lot of the time. But do you work closely with the rest of the staff?
I think Mabel and I have a good relationship. She says...
she's the director here.
She's the librarian, head librarian. She says I'm the next thing to her sister. She doesn't have a sister. And we have laughed together and we have cried together over things, you know, that's happened. I think we're real close. I miss the closeness we had since we have a green thumb worker, you know, because you can't talk in front of everybody. And I miss, and then I've been going to workshop and Mabel didn't have to go. And we usually caught up when we got together, you know. But Mabel and I have good working relationship. I think she would do anything she could to help me and I would do anything I could to help her.
What is the size of your staff in the main library?
One.
That requires a close working relationship.
And
right?
See, until we got a substitute for here, when Mabel had to be off, I came in here. Her husband worked on a barge, and she'd have to take him and go get him. He'd be home a month and gone a month, and when she had to go, I'd come in here and stay for her to go. And we've never had... we've got a green thumb worker, but all she does is vacuum and dust, and she doesn't. She said she didn't want to learn how to put any books on the wall. But
smart,
now we have this little girl that does story air. She works on Thursday and she shelves books. She comes in and at 11 and she shelves until 1:30, and then at the story air from 2 to 4 she shelves books. And she's
your substitute.
She's my substitute. And Mabel's too. See, we can't miss the same day.
You have to plan your sickness, don't
you? That's right.
Do you do any kind of special programming or story hours on the bookmobile?
We're starting. We're to go and show films at the Center on Aging. We did show films down at a housing project in the recreation room. But it just kind of fizzled out. I don't know why. I'd like to say something. We had this, and we had one lady that she came in and she looked at the wall the whole time. She never did look at the film. Well, we took a film down there one time. This just comes to mind. And I tell anybody to view their films before they take them any place. I was sitting on one side of the room, and Mabel was sitting on the other side of the room, and the name of the film was Home Remedies. Well, we were going along pretty good, and it was in the summer, and we had a bunch of kids in there at the time. And it showed this lady in bed, and her stomach was swollen. I thought, well, she has cancer. Few minutes, she had a baby. Mabel was sitting there, and I said, just shocked. I got up and I went over and I said, Mabel, don't you think we ought to turn that off? These kids were saying, show it, and she turned it back on a little while, and the lady had twins, and we just closed up and came back to the library. We viewed all of our films from then on, but that was such a that was something I didn't know how to get out of.
Have you had any experiences with objectionable material among your bookmobile patrons?
Well, yes. Down at the Center on Aging, I left books, and when I went back to pick them up, I met this man and woman, husband and wife. They had this book in their hand, and they said, this is the dirtiest book I've ever seen. I said, well, did you read it to the end? And They said, yes. I said, well, don't complain to me. I said, if you're offended, why didn't you lay it down? My mother-in-law told me one time, she'd come over home, and she said, I'm reading the dirtiest book I've ever seen. She kept talking about it. I said, well, why don't you quit it? She said, I want you to have it in. So if I give a book to a person, I can't read all these books. I wish I could. I almost got into it one time at a deposit station. I left this book, and the name of it was The Jest of God. I hadn't read the book, and so help me, a lady preacher checked it out. And she went back to the store where the lady had the books, and she said, I'm going into library. I went back over there. She said, you're going to have problems. I said, well, I'm sorry. I didn't know what the book was about, but I told her to come on. And I said, when she comes, I'm going to ask her if it offended her, why she didn't lay it down. If a book offends me, and I've read books that offend me, and I lay them down, what's the point in reading a book through and then complaining about it? Because a lot of people will complain, but they'll go right back and get the same material again. I try to watch. I find my readers enough to know who will complain and who won't. Some older people will say, well, give me something with a little spice, and some will say, oh, I don't want to read that. But I think as long as a book has a good story and I don't pay any attention. I pay more attention to God's name being used in a book than I do little old dirty words. I don't like books. I've never figured out why that they put some words in a book. I don't see any place for them. But I guess people buy them, that's the reason.
Have you had a strong support from your community, and could you give me any instances of special cooperation from community groups in supporting the bookmobile and the library program?
Well, we had a tax. We had to go for a tax a few years ago, and we had a lot of support. A lot of people carried petitions. I didn't carry petitions. Mabel didn't carry petitions because I knew they'd say she's working for her job. But people have the wrong idea about jobs. I started working. When I started working, I got $75 from the superintendent's office and $25 from the library. That was $100 a month. Well, in fact, I worked a month. I didn't get any pay at all. We have worked for 3 months without pay, waiting until we got money. And those are the longest months you've ever worked when you don't get paid. We almost got the same thing this year, but we got some money. Right now it's a good time, tax money coming in. But librarians and bookmobile librarians, I've had people just say to me, oh, I wish I could drive a bookmobile. I'd read. And I said, where would you read? I said, it just worries me to check out all these books I'd like to read and don't have time, because I have a family. When I go home, I have to cook, you know. And I have 7 grandchildren that I enjoy very much, and they enjoy the bookmobile. My children have grown up with that bookmobile. I have my oldest daughter, when she went to college, she had read so much, and she didn't read just little old Hark and romance and that. She was in the top 10 in her English. I'm trying to say. But anyway, she's in the top 10 when she entered college in English. And it was all by reading.
Mm-hmm.
And she, right now, my oldest daughter, wherever you find her, you'll find her with books in her purse. And I have 5 children. All of them like to read. I have a daughter that'll read maybe a month straight, and she won't read anymore for, she gets read up. She won't read anymore for 6 months.
Takes a break.
But I wouldn't take anything for what the bookmobile has meant to my children, and I have a niece and nephew that live right next door, and it's meant an awful lot to them. Because I think they learn to to like to read. I guess before I started driving the bookmobile, my children like to read because I've never understood what makes a child like to read and what makes it not like to read. My husband and I always read. We had books laying around all the time, and I read to them, but I've heard people say I read to mine, and they don't like to read. But I think you have to learn to like to read when you're small. I don't think you acquire that as you get older. And a person that don't read is almost as bad as a person that can't read, in my opinion. They have a closed mind.
Back to your salary in the beginning, did you receive any kind of local support in improving that salary through the
years? Well, the Board of Education furnished our gasoline when I first started out. And now we get our gasoline from the Board of Education at their cost. We pay for it, but at the time when I started out, they furnished all of our gasoline. They may have paid our garage bill. I'm not sure on that. But they were good to us. I think right now, if we had to, we could go back to Board of Education, and I believe we could get help if we had to. Because we service the schools, and the teachers are very glad for us to come in. Because they have a library in each school. They have one librarian that covers all three schools. They work one day at two schools and 3 days at the other school. And when they're not there, the library is closed. And something else I have learned, we don't want to lose books. And we try our best not to lose books. But I had rather lose a book than have a child so scared that it wouldn't check out a book. And I think a lot of, I don't know if we have them now, but I know we have had them in our county. School librarians that have children so scared that they will not check out a book. And that is not good. I know I asked Mr. Elder, I go to hospital. I have a deposit station at hospital. And when I first started out, I lost books. Jackie Kennedy went to Clinton County and stayed 3 months, and somebody brought her back. But I asked him that. He said, you know, it worried me. Because, you know, you can be with a job so long, you feel like you own it, you know? I guess I know somebody else could do as good a job as I'm doing. I know they could, but, you know, you feel like... Maybe they couldn't. I know they could, but I asked Mr. Elder about losing books, and he said, I'd rather lose a book than it sit on the shelf and never be used. But anymore, all I take is paperback to the hospital. And I have nurses up there that they come and pick out special books. I hold books for them. I know what they like to read. And I also have a deposit station center on aging. And we're going to start showing a film down there. We have shown them before. I don't know if I'm going to be doing it, who will be doing it, but we're going to... Jill said she'd like me to help. I love old people. I guess it's because I'm getting old. I have a deposit station down there, and they're always glad to see me, and sometimes I go to the nursing home and take books to people. I did have a deposit station down there, but sometimes I go down to the nursing home, and I have a sister that works down there, and she has a guitar. And we go around and sing to the rooms.
The singing librarian.
Yes, we do. We go around and sing. And for a while down there, I met with them, I believe once a month, with current events, all that you could get to come out, you know. Most people in a nursing home are there because they're sick. My father used to go down to the nursing home and read. He had devotional on Wednesdays, and he was older than any of them. He's about 85. And he'd come back and he said, Ruth, I don't understand it. These old people just won't come out. I said, Daddy, they're sick. And I used to go down and we had current events and they told me anything, you know. I enjoyed that. And they told me little funny stories. But I don't know what happened that I can't remember. We may start that again sometime. But so many of them are senile. They don't remember anything hardly. It's hard to get them to come out. It really is. Mm-hmm. You do better by going from room to room.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you have a summer reading program at the main library? And if so, does the bookmobile participate?
Yes, ma'am. Yep, this year. Year before last, I dressed up in a clown suit and went all over town. This year we had, it was on Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a picnic last day. I put all the kids on the bookmobile and we went down to the park and had a ball game. I played ball. I have one, you wouldn't call this a summer, well, I guess you'd call this a little reading program. Have this place where I go with a bookmobile, and I've been telling Mabel and the substitute what a hard time I have. There's three little boys, and if they happen to come on a bookmobile before the mother does, I said, boys, you're going to behave today. And they will until she comes. And I decided, well, maybe if I'll get them outside and read them a story while the mother gets her books, that might be the answer. So I did, and it was the answer. When I went back again, they said, are you going to read to us today? We sat on a post. I did. And they sat down on the ground, and I read to them long enough for the mother to get her books, because those boys will eat my lunch if they can find it. They're just, there's a grandmother keeping them, two boys, two grandsons, and then she has a son about their age, and her saying no to them doesn't mean a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have, honest to goodness, you won't believe this, but they have snatched books, and I have run them up the hill to get them away from them. And my substitute went one day, and she come back, and she said, Ruth, Lord, have you studied all these years? But the answer was reading them
read
books.
Read them a story.
Read them a story. I got them off the bookmobile and got about four books, and we sat there, and I read to them, and we talked about it, the pictures in it, and the mother got her books, and she left. And I left in a lot better shape than I had been.
Do those children check out books now for
well,
themselves?
Well, the mother does. No, the children don't. But she'll pick out something for them.
For them.
Uh-huh. But now all the rest of her children have always checked out books. But these are little fellows. They're not. A lot of people are, well, I say some people, are afraid their child will tear a book. And I say, well, we don't want them to, but if they do, we won't kill them. Because I had much rather if they had tear a book than not read a book or not have a book read to them, because books are no good unless they're used.
Do you check out a higher percentage of children's or adult material?
Adult. Except when I work in school, school.
Mm-hmm.
But my summer circulation is mostly adults.
Has that always been true in your 25 years?
Well, no. I think it's gotten better as it's gone along. I think
better in what way?
And more adults reading. I have teachers that used to get books at school, and now a lot of them have retired, and I go to their homes. And one teacher in particular, this is a man and his sister talked. I was over there not long ago, and I said something about my antenna on the bookmobile. I said, well, I've torn off two. And he thought he had one to fit it, and he went and got a stepladder. But he didn't have one to fix it, but he got me a wire. I've just got a plain old wire up there. He tightened it up, and every time I go, he'll say, how's your radio working? Speaking of radios, back in the tornado season was last year, I was out on this ridge, and there was the blackest cloud come up ever was, and I thought, well, I got to hurry and get through this and get started toward Burkeville, because when you're on a high ridge, wind rocks a bookmobile. It's hard to hold in the road. Well, I got through and started back, and I crossed when I got on the bridge on the across the river, there was a jet plane went over me. And I said, Lord, here comes the tornado, and I'm going to be blown in the river, and I can't swim. I said it out loud. I said, Lord, I'm gone.
Goodbye, world.
Yeah.
From talking to you, I don't feel that you have any regrets about your decision 25 years ago. Have you?
No. I started out to just drive a few years, and then I thought, well, I'll help the children go to school. You know, I have three college graduates and two that started and quit, got married. But if they hadn't gotten married, I wouldn't have any grandchildren. But then after they left home, I've never found a place to stop. I really haven't. I guess I would just kind of drop, blow away if I went home then. I'm about 25 years behind in ironing. But I told my daughter that. She said, if you're that far behind, forget it. But I don't know what I'd do with that work. Of course, I know it's going to come a time and that I'm going to quit. I'd like to quit while I'm able to do a few things that, you know, I've always wanted to do and never had the time. But we farm, and my income helps, you know. If you've never farmed or lived on a farm, you can't understand that, but it's not good.
What advice or recommendations would you give a person who was considering bookmobile librarianship as a career?
Well, the first thing I'd say, you need to like to read. And I'd say you need to like people. That's second. And you need a lot of patience. It takes a lot of patience sometimes. You may just be in a hurry to go some other place. You may be just inside, just torn apart, wanting to go, but you got to listen. You got to listen. That's, I guess, the main thing is liking to read. I can't understand a person who don't like to read, even working in a library or driving a bookmobile.
So it's a matter of liking the books, the people, and getting the right two together.
That's true. That's true.
Thank you so very much, Ruth, for meeting me this morning before you go out on your bookmobile route for the day. And I wish you another happy 25 years
of
bookmobile.
It'll never happen. I wish it would. I've enjoyed it.